Rural Focus.
Hello there to you. It is Troy Stockton. Yes, here we go with another edition of the Rural Focus podcast. And coming up on today's show, well, very soon we will be catching up with David Clegg. David is the seed category manager here in WA with Nutrien. And, Nutrien just about everywhere around WA, just about everywhere around Australia. Going to catch up with David very soon and going to see how the canola supply is going. A lot of people have already planted their canola crops looking for another bumper season. So we'll catch up with David Clegg for you very soon this morning. We'll catch up with Craig Walker, find out also from Nutrien on how yesterday's Mushay cattle sale went. We'll catch up with Ben from the Condinan Group. Yes, he's, if you're sort of into your techie kind of stuff, Ben just might have something for you. But the big news here in WA today was to do with the WA State Government announcing $200 million boost for WA's regional rail freight network. The lady who did break the news this morning, the WA Transport Minister, in Rita Saffioti. She joins us on the podcast right now. Minister, hello there to you.
Thank you. Yes, it's a big announcement today. We're announcing the allocation of the $200 million of funding to agricultural freight supply networks. So this is a combination of federal and state funds, and we've got approval to allocate funding, and it's $200 million that's going to be allocated. So I'll just quickly run through those. It's $22 million for the rail sidings at Brookton, Mora, Cranbrook and Broome Hill. We're announcing another $46 million for seven additional upgrades of rail sidings. $60 million for the Midland Line, main line. We're going to upgrade the capacity of that rail line between Carnarvon and Ninganoo. And we've got $72 million in the Southern Wheat Belt to recommission a Tier 3 rail line, a Narrogin to Coolin line. So a significant amount of work on our freight network, our rail freight network throughout the Wheat Belt.
Is this coming in time to get the grains to port and everything else?
Yeah, well, the works will be over the next 3 to 4 years. So this will help the sector over time. There's already work underway for a number of the rail siding extensions. So this will be progressively done. But yeah, it's an absolute acknowledgement of, first of all, the record harvest that we've had in WA, but also the knowledge that we're going to keep having these types of harvests and we need to continue to improve our ability to get the grain to port in an efficient time. So we've been investing record amounts in roads,
yep,
and we're investing a lot in roads, but we're also very keen to support our rail network, knowing that road, rail and our port upgrades are essential to improve the efficiency of our supply chain throughout the region.
Okay. What about money for rail safety, Minister?
Yeah, there's also the program for the level crossings, which we'll continue to work on. The program of works, we're spending about $5 million a year. We're getting some clarity from the federal government about their allocation and how much that will be spent, how much will be allocated to WA, and hopefully post-election, whoever wins will get some clarity. But we're very keen to continue to invest and invest more into rail safety as well. So there's about $5 million allocated, but we're looking at how much of that federal government money is coming to WA as well.
Hey, thank you for that great news today. I know that you've got a busy day ahead. Travel safe and we'll chat soon.
Thank you very much.
The following interview on the Rural Focus podcast is a paid interview. A reminder, this may not be the right product for you and other goods and services may be available.
It is Troy with Rural Focus for you Tuesday. Hey, we haven't caught up with this bloke as we hadn't caught up with Harry Carroll yesterday for a couple of weeks due to, of course, Easter and Anzac Day, but he's back with us today. Craig Walker from Nutrien. Good morning, mate.
Oh, good morning, mate. Great to hear your voice. I've missed you on the radio and missed those phone calls on a Tuesday morning.
You could have rang me, but I knew that you were probably busy elsewhere. The Mushay sale yesterday, how did things go there?
Yeah, look, Mushay yesterday, numbers increased because, as you could imagine, with 2 weeks off nearly, the cattle market, the numbers that came in there, they were double on what they were in the lead up until Easter, with 1,400 head of cattle that were sold. The cattle market right across the board was still very strong. The way we're going at the moment, there was a good mix of local cattle in there as well as some pastorals, and the heavy cows still remained fully firm to where they were selling the other day. Bulls were still under high demand. Young cattle, some very, very good young veal market, that was still bumping along at extraordinary rates and giving some pretty good returns. If we have a look at some of our better lines, we're starting to see our local bred steer veal is selling from $5 to $6.40. Your
local bred heifer. They were selling from $4 to $5.72. Yearling steers, which are slightly older, they were selling from $4.52 to $5.56. And the heifers, they were $4.52 to $5.28. So in the past, we're starting to see the heifers, they were selling from up to a high of $4.82. And in the cow market, as I said, we saw tops out there for big heavyweight cows is up to $374. Medium cows, they were selling from $2.80 to $3.38, and heavy bulls, they topped out at $3.60, and medium weights topped out at $4.40. So it's still an extremely strong buoyant market. We've got some really good lines of cattle that are still available and coming on with a bit of mustering starting in the north. There's some quality lines there, so just keep your eyes out or just talk to your local nutrient fella about what's becoming available. And not forgetting that at the end of the month, the last Friday of May, there is another store sale earmarked for nutrient in Mushay, so okay, there should be some good cattle coming up there as well. So it's all go, mate. We, yeah, even though certainly, we had 2 weeks off, but pedal to the metal, as they say.
The bull sales, they still continuing in your neck of the woods?
No, all over now, mate. And it was a great result for everyone. And what it does go to show is people are investing in genetics, and we do see a bit of a disparity in the prices in the sale yards, particularly with some of our northern cattle that come in. And it's all based on quality and what the cattle do. So, and it's no different if you're in the south as well. We're sort of seeing that people are spending the money on genetics and getting the early growth rates, focusing on particularly the maternal fat for their females and also their growth rates 2 and 400 days. If the cattle are performing on feed or on grass, you know, the people are actually learning who is who in this big brown land of ours, and they're actually chasing names and people. You know, they want their cattle and they'll pay a premium for it. So, you know, to be perfectly honest, I know that, you know, some of my guys out east, they who have been on some really good genetics have been, they're getting a premium of as much as 60 cents a kilo because they've got the cattle that actually perform. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, it's a slow process, but that's, we've got the opportunity to, with these present prices, to cull our inferior cattle really hard, get on top of what we've got, and in our sheep flocks as well, because even though we're going through a few headaches and a few hiccups with the sheep job, but the same principles apply, is that quality will always sell rather than quantity.
The following interview on the Rural Focus podcast is a paid interview. A reminder, this may not be the right product for you and other goods and services may be available.
Well, of course, last week we caught up with Josh from the Condillan Group. This week, Ben's won the toss and he's elected to speak today. So, mate, nice to have you on board.
Hey, thanks, Troy. Always good to chat. And, you know, following Josh's footsteps, it's always good to catch up. And I'm actually going to be talking a little bit about a similar sort of topic to what he was talking about last week. So I think you guys were chatting about mobile phones and the testing we've just finished.
Yeah.
Well, I thought I'd add a little bit to that, Troy, just about some tech that we looked at the same time as we went out to look at the phones.
Yeah, you've got something. What's this, like a Zeti Rover? Is that what you...
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, so the Zeti Rover is actually, you know, a lot of mobile phones now can use Wi-Fi calling, so voice over IP. Yeah. You know, so rather than use a direct connection to the tower and make a call that way, you can use VoIP. So, and that's kind of useful in a way because it means that we can use an internet connection from, well, pretty much anywhere to make a phone call. And and I suppose that's what this Zeti Rover is all about, is actually using whatever signal it can get its hands on to provide an internet signal in a vehicle for you to therefore then make voice calls and download data. So look, we went and had a look at this thing, you know, in Wagga on our way back from testing it out in the Hay Plains, and went for a bit of a drive in a ute that had this thing fitted to it. And it's really interesting, Troy, in that it pulls signal from either Telstra or Optus, but at the same time, so it's running two SIMs in this thing, and it's also got a big Wi-Fi antenna as well. So if there's an available Wi-Fi connection, it'll latch onto that as well. And what it means is that, you know, you're effectively hedging your bets, I suppose, in terms of whatever connection's available, being able to tap into network, get some data and make a call and hopefully improve the footprint of coverage across rural Australia. And that's the plan that these guys have got, you know, as part of their a suite of products, which, you know, includes this Zeti Rover, which is quite interesting.
Do you need more or less like mobile reception to use this Zeti Rover?
Well, you do, do still need mobile reception. Although, I guess that's the point. There are scenarios where if you don't have mobile reception, but you've got a Wi-Fi connection, and people will go, well, you know, it's unlikely we'd have that out in the paddock. I guess that's where the second part of the the Zettify story comes into play, because these guys also set up, you know, wide area Wi-Fi networks as well. So, you know, potentially up to 3Ks from, say, a house where you might have an active internet connection.
Yep.
And that might be, you know, let's say it's hooked into Elon Musk's Starlink or whatever. you can beam that signal up to 3Ks out around the house, and then, you know, use your mobile phone, tap into Wi-Fi.
Yep.
And be able to make calls, you know, anywhere up to 3Ks from the homestead. So, you know, there's a I guess a combination of technologies there that are bubbling away, and we're going to know a little bit more about it probably, you know, towards the end of the year. But, you know, the first question people will inevitably ask is, oh, is this a Cell-Fi Go replacement? You know, everyone's got a Cell-Fi Go booster. You know, well, potentially not. It uses different technology. And I think the plan really is going to be for us to you know, test out the tech and just see where it does work and where it doesn't work. So probably stand by for a little bit more info on that one, Troy.
Could it also be a little bit handy, say, in emergency situations like floods or fires or something
like
that?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, you'd love to think that any improvement in reception and footprint has to be an improvement, you know. And I guess, you know, we've heard recently where we've had instances where, you know, the tower hasn't had enough, you know, backup power supply to be able to support emergency services, you know, for any more than a few hours. Well, you know, hopefully, you know, if you haven't got access to one tower, you might have access to another tower, even if it's on a different network, that, you know, that might sort of help with, I guess. So, look, it's probably hedging bets a little bit, Troy, I suppose, but could it be the solution? Well, probably not, but it may help a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely, yeah.
So it's called the Zeti Rover.
Yeah, the Zeti Rover. So look, it bolts up onto the headboard of any, you know, ute or whatever, and has a sort of series of antennas. It's got about 5 antennas in total on it. Looks pretty hilarious, and it looks like a small porcupine attached to the top of your car. But it's obviously got a lot of antennas because it's trying to tap into a lot of different networks, and that's the reason for the appearance. But yeah. Stay tuned for some more info on it. But we've got certainly the May issue. So we've got a few details on what it's all about. And, that's along with the mobile phones report. So it's a pretty jam-packed issue.
All right. Speaking of the magazine, mate, it would have come out yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Just the final touches on it and out the door. So people will stay tuned and keep an eye on the mailbox for that one to come through. Lots of info in this issue, including the mobile phones report. Mm. And Mark's got a really nice wrap of some new machinery and technology out there. Great issue. And I think people will find it when they've got a minute in between the pressures of seeding to sit down and have a read. They'll find it pretty good value.
All right, mate. Anything else before I let you go this morning, mate?
No, look, the only other thing I want to add is if people do want to let us know what research priorities they've got, they can still let us know through the Condon Group NAS. That's available online at the farminghead.com.au/NAS. NAS. Any suggestions or ideas that come through, we all take them very seriously. So encourage people to get on that. We've extended the deadline for a couple of weeks.
All right, no worries. Ben from the Condon Group, always nice to chat, mate. We'll do it again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Troy.
The following interview on the Rural Focus podcast is a paid interview. A reminder, this may not be the right product for you and other goods and services may be available.
Time right now to catch up with David Clegg. David from Nutrient Ag Solutions. He is the C category manager through the Western region. David, good morning, mate.
Morning, Troy.
Do I dare ask, how has the canola supply gone?
Oh, look, it's been quite a ride this year, Troy, for growers around the state. You know, with the early break to the season and record grain prices, I think every farmer's wanted to grow canola and grow the most they've ever have. So that certainly, you know, put the pressure on getting the amount of seed growers wanted. I think combined with some, you know, reduced seed production by a couple of seed companies, and then along with sort of freight delays getting seed from where it's been grown on the eastern states or even overseas in some cases.
Yep.
You know, I think it's been just in time or a little bit on the late side. So, you know, I'd certainly thank growers for their patience with dealing with getting seed onto farm. And, you know, I'd certainly take my hat off to the Nutrient Network for the work they've put in and getting, you know, seed to growers this year.
For sure. Now, what if the farmers need more seed this year, mate? Or what should they do for going forward into next year?
Oh, look, if there's still a few paddocks being sown, there might be some small amounts of canola seed still available in stores or in other parts of the state from where growers are located. So please contact your local nutrient store if you're after any bits to finish off your seeding program. The key thing also is to look forward to 2023 now. You know, any help in indicating what you might need in 2023 would be appreciated by your local nutrient store.
Are there any new wheat or barley varieties, say, worth looking at?
Look, I think with the early break this year in some areas, there's been a lot of interest in longer season wheat varieties from by growers. You know, varieties like Valiant, CL from Intergrain, you know, Denison from AGT. I think, you know, existing varieties like Rockstar and Catapulter are probably also going to be popular this year with, you know, an early opportunity for sowing. So we've certainly been selling those varieties, and you know, growers should look at you know, bulking up some seed for the future.
All right.
There's also some like Laperouse barley is another good early sowing option. So again, now that growers are finishing up their canola programs, it might be time to try some some new wheat and barley varieties.
All right, good luck with that. What also, David, are the options, say, for pastures for growers this year?
Look, there's certainly some areas have had a great break to the season, so they've got some nice green pastures. If, you know, there are paddocks that have germinated and they're full of weeds rather than ryegrass and clover, we've got some good supplies of clovers and ryegrass available for growers to buy. And similarly, you know, in areas where there hasn't been a break of season, it might be an opportune time to get seed on hand ready to sow, you know, to give the best quality pastures when the season does break.
Now, what about safflower?
Yes.
Now, that's a new crop growers can look at this year. What can you tell us about this?
Safflower is a new crop that Nutrien has got the distribution rights for in Western Australia. It's an oilseed crop that's suitable for sort of higher pH soils in sort of low to medium rainfall areas. There's certainly some interest in areas on the eastern wheat belt down towards the mallee soils of Esperance. Some interest from growers in growing that this year as a as an alternative, say, to canola.
Okay.
For those sort of higher pH soils, which canola doesn't always finish well in. I think there's been some encouraging trials done in WA in 2021 that show that safflower is worth having a look at. So certainly growers should drop into their local nutrient store to inquire whether it's suitable for them.
Yeah, go ahead and do that. Anything else before I do let you go this morning, mate?
No, look, it's certainly been a busy year, and I hope the season, you know, keeps on giving as far as rain is concerned, so that everyone has a great year.
Yeah, let's hope so. David Clegg, the Seed Category Manager through the Western Region with Nutrient Ag Solutions. Mate, as always, thanks for your time today.
No worries, Troy.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
Time to get another fitness tip. The lady in the know, Louise from FarmLife Fitness. Good morning.
Morning, Troy. How are you?
Not bad. How are the nerves? Before Thursday night, of course, the big awards night.
I don't know. They're okay. I'm really looking forward to it. But it is hard, I was just saying, to write an acceptance speech when you don't even know if you need to accept anything yet.
It's always nice, just in case. You know,
yes, I know. Prepared. I know. Sounds a bit presumptuous, but you've got to be prepared, don't you?
So. Yeah, well, that's it. That's it. So, no, good luck on Thursday night, of course. Hey, this morning, speaking a grounding technique.
Yeah, I've just been, again, this time of year with seeding, talking to clients, both those that are in the trenches, as it were, seeding, and those that are keeping everything going around the house with kids and everything like that. And it can be super overwhelming. So I try and give out sort of grounding techniques, really simple things that you can do. It doesn't require anything. You don't need any equipment, but it's a way to bring you back to the present, a way to switch off your brain from thinking about what's going on. And basically this one, I use this one a lot. And I also use it with our oldest boy now, because he gets it a bit more. And it's the five things. So it's you can be moving when you do it, but if you can be still, that's great. And you sort of say to yourself, okay, what's the five things I can see? Mm-hmm. What's the five things I can feel? And what's the five things I can hear? And then you go four things I can see, hear, feel, three things, two things, one thing. Okay. And the aim is that you don't want to think about it too much. You've just got to sort of fire them off. And it doesn't really matter if you say the same thing twice. You know, it's just more about the fact that you were trying to bring you back to the present. And your brain will fight it. Your brain will say, I know what you're trying to do, and I want to get back to worrying about this task. But stick with it. And as I always suggest, like, try doing it at times when you're feeling good as practice runs. You know, our best work and our, you know, changes come when we're actually feeling good and we can do that work on ourselves. And then when the overwhelm hits, we can draw on the things that we know help.
So how many times a week would you do this? Just once? Or a couple of times?
So for me now, I only tend to do it when I'm really feeling overwhelmed. But at the beginning, because I really knew it was a good technique, I was trying to practice it a couple of times a day, you know, and then 2 days would go past and I hadn't done it. And then I might do it for a couple of days. So it's just about being mindful, So, you know, just if you're sort of walking along through your day and you're feeling good, just go, oh, I might just practice this now. And then it's about learning what your mental first aid toolbox has in it. And one of the methods might be this grounding technique, so you can pull it when you really need it.
All right, so there you go. And I'm sure people can find more with you on your social media pages?
Yeah, Instagram, farm.lifefitness, and Facebook, Farm Life Fitness. We're always there to have a chat and always got advice going out, not just about movement, but about mental and emotional well-being as well. It's super important.
All right, anything else before I let you go to write more on your big speech for Thursday night?
No, just have a great day.
Yes, have a great day and have a great night. Thursday night, the AgriFutures Rural Women's Award to be held in Perth. We'll find out more from you hopefully on Friday morning.
Thanks, Troy.
And there you have today's edition of the Rural Focus podcast. Oh, it's been a big day for WA. Finally, some money, a big boost for the Western Australian Regional Rail Freight Network. And it was nice to have the WA Transport Minister, the Honourable Rita Saffioti, join us on today's podcast. So, yeah, nice to see some money. Just need now some more money for rail safety. Can we get some more lights on trains? Hey, let's hope so. Hey, don't forget too, if you'd like to be a part of the Rural Focus podcast, love to hear from you wherever you could be, whether you're in WA or interstate, maybe somewhere international, or maybe you're over there in New Zealand. Hello to our Kiwi friends. I'm not going to use the accent. Don't want to put anybody off. But anyway, but yeah, wherever you are around the world, you want to be a part of the Rural Focus podcast, we'd love to have you on board. Hey, why not too? Maybe you're doing different things in your neck of the woods than what farmers are doing here in WA. Get in contact with us. Jump onto the Rural Focus Facebook page and leave us a message there. Love to hear from you. I've been Troy Stockton. I'll have another Rural Focus podcast again for you very soon.